Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Did you guys enjoy the worship? Or can you appreciate the worship one more time? Oh my goodness. I just want to take this opportunity to thank every one of them for committing themselves and coming to praise the Lord. Amen. It is a beautiful thing to see all the ladies here, beautiful and just praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Keep it up, and may the Lord God bless you. Amen. Before I bring the word of the Lord, I have a friend of mine who is with me here, Pastor Jeremiah Kiruka, and it's been a while, actually, we've not met this year, and, you know, he just made a decision to come and worship with us, and so I'd like to give him an opportunity before I bring the word. He just came and say hello to you, and I don't know how many of you know him, and just make him welcome by appreciating him as he comes.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Actually, I'm not a stranger in the house of the Lord, and even in this place, so many people know me. It's only in this place that I've not come, but the other church I used to visit. Praise God. The Lord is good, and all the time, yes, He has been salvation and my strength. And I feel that I'll keep forward, blessing, until I be glorified. Because I know where my salvation has started and where it's going to end. It's going to end in glorification. And that is what I am looking for. That's what I'm looking towards for. I have a word that has been my strength. In the book of Lamentations 3, we are not going to read verse 24. It's very simple. That the rod is my portion. It means a lot to me. Because when the rod is my portion, then I have everything. Praise God. And when the rod is your portion, then you have everything. So God bless you. God bless this church. God bless the pastor. Mungu ni mwema. Amen. Amen.
Amen. The Lord is our portion. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Jeremiah. It's an honor to have you. And we are going to be blessed. Amen. Very quickly, we are going to go into the word of the Lord. I believe 2 weeks ago, we started on the rebuilding the walls, and this morning when I got up, I was preparing to just go up. You know, I've been studying the whole time and preparing for the word. But as I got to my computer to print the material that I was prepared today, I had a voice from the Holy Spirit, and this is what I had: obedience is better than sacrifice. And I'm like, Lord, no, this is in the morning. I don't even have time. What do you mean? Obedience is better than sacrifice. And as I kept on going on, I had that words louder and louder and louder. And so I said, okay, Lord, what do you want us to teach us about obedience is better than sacrifice? And then I just sat down with my Bible, and then something came to me, and I remember that is almost the same message our sister Leah was preaching last week. How many of you remember what she spoke? She spoke to us last week. How many of you remember? Let me see how many people are in church. Chada, how many of you? Okay, Sister Beatrice, can you tell us what you learned last week? What was she talking about? Alzheimer's. So you remember Alzheimer's. So somebody was listening to her. Somebody else? Can you remember what was our main topic? Be doers of the word. Amen? Amen. And so when I sat down and I said, this must be amazing, because I don't know what the Spirit of the Lord wants to tell us this last 2 weeks about be doers of the word. And I heard obedience is better than sacrifice. And I would like us to go to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 15, and I'll read some two verses, and then I'll be able to explain, you know, what happened. This is what the Bible, 1 Samuel 15, we'll read the 22 to 24. And the Bible says, but Samuel answered, what pleases the Lord more, burnt offerings or sacrifices, or obedience to his voice? It is better to obey than to sacrifice. It is better to obey than to sacrifice. It is better to listen to God than to offer the fat of sheep. Disobedience is as bad as sin of sorcery. pride is as bad as the sin of worshiping idols. You have rejected the Lord's command. Now he rejects you as king. Let's see what it says in that translation. Verse number 22, Sister Lorraine. 1 Samuel 15:22. Then Samuel said, "Does the Lord take pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the Lord? Look, to obey is better than to sacrifice. To pay attention is better than the fat of rams." Verse number 23. "For rebellion is like the sin of divination." Wow. Those are very strong words right there. "For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and defiance is like the wickedness and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." Praise the Lord. Now, in my short reading about this, researching this word and just preparing of what we want to share this morning, I came across a story that I liked, and I would like to read it real quick, and then we can get into the context of 1 Samuel chapter number 15. And I just require for you to be attentive so that you can listen to this story. To make the value of obedience just as practical as possible, let's pretend that you work for me. In fact, you are my executive's assistant in a rapidly growing company. As owner of the company, I'm interested in expanding overseas. To pull this off, I make plans to travel abroad and stay there until the new branch office gets established. I make all the arrangements to take my family in the move to Europe for 6 to 8 months. And I leave you in charge of the busy stateside organization. I tell you that I will write you regularly and give you direction and instruction. I leave and you stay. Months pass. A flow of letters are mailed from Europe and received by you at the national headquarters. I spell out all my expectations. Finally, I return. Soon after my arrival, I drive down to the office and I am stunned. Grass and weeds have grown up high. A few windows along the streets are broken. I walk into the receptionist's office and she is doing her nails, chewing gum, and listening to her favorite rock station. I believe if I was your boss, I would not even talk to you. Maybe I would fire you right then. I look around and notice the waste baskets are overflowing. The carpet hasn't been vacuumed. The carpet hasn't been vacuumed for weeks, and nobody seems concerned that the owner has returned. I ask where you are, and someone in the crowded lounge area points down to the hall and yells, "I think he is down there." Disturbed, I move in that direction and bump into you as you're finishing a chess game with our sales manager. I ask you to step into my office, which has been temporarily turned into a television room for watching afternoon soap operas. "What in the world is going on, man?" And then this guy replies, "What do you mean, Gary? Well, look at this place. Didn't you get any of my letters?" "Letters? Oh, yeah. Sure, got every one of them. As a matter of fact, we have had a letter study every Friday night since you left. We have even divided all the personnel into small groups and discussed many of the things you wrote. Some of those things were really interesting. You'll be pleased to know that a few of us have actually memorized some of your sentences and your paragraphs. One guy even memorized the entire letter all too. Great stuff in those letters." Okay, you got my letters. You studied them, discussed, and even memorized them. But then, what did you do? We didn't do anything. Well, that is a story that is really... runs parallel to what we go through every day. Amen. This is actually, it is not it could have been a story that somebody just made up. But this explains to us how the Lord feels, because he has delivered us his word. He is to us every day. And we are good listeners, even as our sister told us yesterday. Every single one of us has a Bible maybe they have memorized. I remember at an early age when I just got born again, I was drawn to Hebrews 4:12 and I memorized it and I loved it and I can quote it anytime. I know maybe you have a scripture that you've memorized and you love it, or maybe you have memorized. I had this guy in a church that I was going to back in Kenya, that this guy had read the Bible 5 times. And you know, when he would preach, he would come and tell us, "What are you telling me? I have read the Bible 5 times. And you know what? This guy would actually not use a Bible while preaching, because he would kunuku. Unajua kunuku ni kufanya nini? He would quote the Bible exactly. Thank you. He would quote the Bible line by line, chapter after chapter. And this guy used to be, you know, he used to be feared when he used to stand on the pulpit. But you know the things that that guy used to do behind the scenes, you would not even want to know. Maybe James already understands who I'm talking about. You know, so we can study the whole Bible and we can memorize and we can do all these things. But it all boils down to obeying what the scripture tells us. What comes out of the mouth of the Lord, praise be to God. Hallelujah. Can I hear an amen? Praise the Lord. Now, in the book of Samuel, it begins by Samuel speaking to coming to Saul. See, one time the children of Israel were crying out for a king. And surely the Lord was so merciful and so gentle, as he has always been, and that is his nature and his character. And he said, "Okay, I'll give you a king." And so the prophet Samuel goes out to anoint Saul. And now this particular moment in chapter number 15, Samuel has come to Saul and he has told him, "Remember, I am the one that the Lord sent to come and anoint you as king." Praise the Lord. "I came and anointed you. I poured oil and declared you to be king over Israel." So the Lord, one time, at some point, he had favor upon you. Even though the children of Israel cried out and said, "We wanted Saul as king," the Lord had favor upon you. And his eyes were focused on you. Praise be to God. "And I, Samuel, the prophet, was sent by the word of the Lord, through the word of the Lord, and I came and anointed you." Hallelujah. "And you became king. And I remember." And so Samuel comes to Saul and he tells him, "The Lord is angry with the Amalekites for what they did to the children of Israel as they were journeying from the land of captivity into their promised land. And he was so with them, because what they did is they waylaid them and they wanted to kill them. And so the Lord was angry. The Lord's anger was rekindled against the Amalekites." But how many of you know that the Lord is very, very patient? Amen. Now, this was something that had happened years and years ago. But a time for their punishment had come, and therefore he spoke to his servant, Prophet Samuel, to speak to the king Saul, to tell him, "A time has come that I want to finish and exterminate the Amalekites for what they did to my children." And so he gives instructions to King Saul. And he tells him, "This is the word that I've received from the Lord, and that you're supposed to go out against the Amalekites. The Lord has handed them over to your hands, and I would like you to utterly, completely destroy and kill everything." I read that, and I've read that many times. But this time when I was studying in the morning, I said, "God, I can't believe what you said. You said even kill little babies, kill their cattle, kill their goats, everything that was connected to the Amalekites." These were the instructions that were given to King Saul. And so King Saul gathered all his army. There were about 200,000 people. And he also had some other people that were attending, also like leaders of the armies. And they went against the Amalekites. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says, as they went to kill them, and the Lord handed the Amalekites to King Saul and the armies of Israel. And as they were trying to exterminate the whole Amalekites, something got into Saul, and he realized that, you know what, I'm not going to execute the whole plan. I see this as a fat cow. I see that as a fat goat. I see this as a healthy animal that I can bring back to my village, and maybe it can be mine. And so he finished the mission, but he the leaders of the armies, some of the soldiers picked up, and I believe there was no way. You know, when the soldiers are at war, they are constantly 100% under the command of their leader. Amen? So there's no way these leaders would have just gone and decided, you know what, I just want to take this fat cow and kill the weak one. I want to kill all these people and take the king, if they were not being instructed by the king. And so what they did, they besieged the king, King Agag. That's what the Bible, if you read the Bible, it will tell you that. And they took all the healthy animals while they exterminated every other thing. And so they came back. And the Lord was so angry about the lack of execution of his instructions, because it was determined in the heart of God to completely wipe out the Amalekites for what they had done to his children. And so at night, the Lord spoke to his prophet Samuel, and he tells him, I'm so disgusted. I am so disappointed by King Saul. I even regret why I sent you to anoint him as king. Why? And Samuel, the Bible says that he cried out the whole night. He was so disturbed. You know, when I read this story and I read the stories of the Bible, I see the seriousness the voice of God meant even to the people in those days. If God spoke, or if God was angry and he sounded out his voice to the people, people wore sackcloth and they fell on their floor and they started crying and calling out to God. You read about David, you read about Nehemiah, you read about all the characters of the Bible. When God's voice spoke, everybody fell prostrate and cried out to God because they knew who God was. Praise the Lord. You know, God sometimes would answer by fire. God sometimes would also come and reveal to himself who he was. He would thunder on mountains. I remember, like in this instance, when Moses had told the children of Israel, prepare, because in 3 days we are going to meet the king. And he told them that you need to cleanse yourself. You need to abstain from sexual relationships. You need to separate yourself from stuff that you've been doing, because in 3 days we are going to meet the king. And so they did as the Moses had instructed them. And the third day, they're tending towards the mountain. And the mountain began to rumble. And it began to thunder. And there were voices and lightning that was striking and crisscrossing the mountain. And the children of Israel came down to Moses and says, No, we don't want to hear from that God, because we see him and we fear. May he speak to you and in return speak to us. In other words, God could come and reveal his majesty. Amen? And I don't know whether that the church today is what we need. You know, that God that rumbled, that God that came up in lightning, that God that shook up and sometimes separated the ground when people sinned and the ground swallowed them up and it filled up. I don't know whether that's what the church today needs. Praise be to God. The Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen. The same God that we enjoy today, the God of grace. We are living under the dispensation of grace. A time when many people in the church, in the Old Testament, long to dwell. These are the times when we live under the dispensation of grace. But that doesn't mean that the character of God has changed. Amen. He still is the God who answers by fire. Amen. He still is the God who is so gracious. He's still the God who is so merciful. He's still the God who longs that everyone comes to him. Amen. And that they may receive forgiveness from him. Praise be to God. Our God has not changed. Our God, never will he change. He is the same compassionate God as he was in the children of Israel. He is compassionate about you. I don't care what people say about you, but I know when God thinks about you, he thinks good things about your life. He has good plans concerning your children. He has good plans concerning even the children of your children that you've never seen. He knows when they're going to be born. He knows where they're going to live. He knows what they're going to do 20, 30, 40 years from now. He is still the compassionate God. But you know, even as we enjoy the dispensation of grace, we need to know that God has not ceased from who He is. Praise be to God. And so, God is so disgusted with Saul. And he said, I regret why I made him a king. And Samuel cries to the Lord the whole night, and he comes back. He comes to seek Saul. And he comes and couldn't find Saul, but he is determined to come and find Saul. And he came, and when he finds Saul, he tells him, What have you done? You have done an abominable thing before the Lord. And Saul, we find in the text, if you read in the text, he started becoming defensive. He says, oh, why would you say such a thing? Because I already accomplished the mission. You know, it's like he is not aware that God was communicating with his servant, the prophet Samuel. And Samuel returns a response to Saul, and he tells him, what is this bleating of sheep? And what is this meowing of cattle that I hear in the background? And you know, he's beginning to get arrogant. He says, you know what? Oh, just, you know, picked up the very healthy cows and animals, and we thought that we would sacrifice this before the Lord. Do you think that was true? He was trying just to be defensive. It could have been true what he said, but the Lord was not interested. I mean, wouldn't you think would Saul really think in his little mind that the Lord would not raise up even well-to-do animals for his sacrifice? You know, do you think that God will not raise up cattle for his own sacrifice, for the sacrifice of his name? So that he would, you know, be a peace for the sins of the nation? And he says, oh, we got all these fat cows, and we got all this, you know, good sheep and all these things. And we also did not destroy the king. So, but all the others we destroyed. But the fact remains that he did not follow the instructions to the full. You know what? Many times, it's very easy even for a preacher like me and many other preachers to stand here and castigate Saul and say, you know, Saul was a bad guy. And you know, I found myself asking myself, surely, how many times has the Lord given me a set of instructions and he told me, Tony, I would like you to do A, B, C, and D. And I never fulfilled to the latter the instructions that he gave me. Or I started to complain. Or many times he has given me assignments to do. And I was recalling as I was reading this, many times I've complained. And I said, must I do this assignment? Must I carry these responsibilities? Lord, does anybody really understand? You know, it's just like the work of being a pastor is, you know, you have to be sometimes. I've been in people's home trying to solve their problems in almost 2 a.m. in the morning, and as I'm trying to leave after resolving their issues, one of the spouses says, no, pastor, you cannot leave with me. You cannot leave me here. You have to go with me. And I'm wondering, where am I taking you to in the morning? And I'm like, at that point, I'm telling God, why did you send me here? I'm not saying to them, but I'm complaining in my heart, and I'm telling God, this is so tough for me. Probably you need to give me a better church, you know, where people don't have any problems, or, you know, where people are, you know, so that I can drive a good car, live nicely, come Sunday, preach and go home, and I'll be comfortable, you know. You know, let me tell you, temptations are many. You just see people walking in suits, but you know, many times, if we would open up our hearts, if I would open up my heart, you'd wonder, Pastor, Kwani, what happened to you? In this day, I see some gaps here. What happened? Can you explain to us? Were you really my pastor on the 12th of April 2015? This day, were you really qualified to be my pastor? And I'll say, I don't think so. Because I complained and I murmured and I said, this job is too difficult. Yet when I go through this text, I see that in the beginning, that Samuel says, I am the one who came and by the word of the Lord, I came and anointed you. That means God has your finger. He has an eye focused on you. Amen? And when God gives us an assignment, brothers and sisters, He knows that we can accomplish it. Hallelujah. The Bible doesn't promise that the journey is going to be smooth. And I was reminding myself, Tony, this job is not going to be easy. You know, let me tell you, there was one time, every time I would go around, you know, I would meet somebody who is homeless and he would need my help. Let me tell you, it got to a point whereby I started complaining. And I said, Lord, why is it? And in fact, I was telling Pastor Julius, I don't understand why God always leads me to people who are homeless and they need help. You know, like this guy who I found, he has a CDL, but he had a high blood pressure. And now, you know, he needs a job. And we got him and then taking him so that he can take a medical certificate so that he can have a job. His blood pressure was almost three times normal. In fact, the doctor said you couldn't have lived even two more days. You know? And so I had to drive him to Parkland, you know, so that he could get medication because he didn't have even any insurance. And then after some time, we have to wait until his blood pressure would come down, maybe a week or a week later. And then we have to get him a job. And then when we gave him a job, he goes to Mississippi. He has warrants of arrest. He is arrested there. You know? And the wife tells me, now you have to come and pay for us so that we can count on. I said, no, I'm not doing this. No, I cannot do this. Let me tell you, sometimes God can push you. And this guy still calls me even today. I don't want to pick up his phone. I'm serious. I don't want to pick up his phone. Because I know what he's going to tell him is issues. But you see, this Bible does not promise me that the work is going to be easy. Yeah? Brothers and sisters, listen. This word does not promise us that the work is going to be easy. And it got to a point when I was reading this text in the morning. I knelt down by my office and I told God, please forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. For I can criticize Saul for what he did. But many times I've done this myself. It could not, maybe I may not have reserved a fat cow, but I may have just done exactly what I felt was good for me. And I left the hard stuff because nobody wants to do the hard stuff. Can I hear an amen? Am I preaching to somebody? And God concludes in verse number 22. I believe God has something he wants to communicate to this church. There's no way the Spirit of God would have distracted me from a well-arranged someone to come and talk to me what we had here about last week. That obedience is better than sacrifice. And so Samuel comes after all this back and forth with Saul and Samuel. Oh, you know, I did this. You know, I did this because we want to sacrifice to the Lord. Well, you know, I listened to the soldiers. I didn't want them to let them. Come on, shut up. I said, Tony, also shut up. How many times have you done things because you didn't want to... want to injure the feelings of other people? You know, you don't want to do what the Lord has told you to do because you fear the repercussions of what other people are going to say. You know, this is exactly what happened to Saul. Saul says, you know, I listened to my soldiers. They wanted to keep for themselves the fatlings, and we destroyed the weaklings and everything else, but I kept these fat ones so that we may sacrifice them to the Lord. And Samuel looked at the guy and he told him, listen, obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. God is not pleased with the sacrifices. As a matter of fact, as we are going to see here shortly, God is not pleased with the... See what used to happen in the Old Testament? They used to bring a cow, and the priest used to get into the Holy of Holies once a year, and he used to go there with a bell, you know, with a very tall chain, and along that chain there was a bell. I'm just going quickly here so that you understand. And with him, he would have blood of animals and bulls, and he would sprinkle, you know, and this would represent, it would kind of cover the sins of the people. But the fact of the matter is this, that they continued to do this year after year, which means that the blood of bulls and cows would not do the pure job. Amen. Because they continue to do this year after year, year after year. Kind of like a reminder. You know, kind of like to cover all the sins that the children of Israel had done. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says that, you know, the blood of bulls and animals cannot take our guilt away. Only the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. Who is our Lord Jesus Christ? Praise be to Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Hallelujah. And so Saul looks at her. I mean, Samuel looks at Saul and he tells him, just because of your disobedience, the Lord has rejected you. I'm sure these were the words that Saul never expected at all. especially from Samuel, and he started crying, and that was his end. He could not even continue because the Lord had rejected him out of a simple instruction. It looked like it was a simple thing. I mean, you know, and sometimes we say, maybe the Lord would have mercy upon me. Surely, and the Lord is very merciful and so gracious, you know, and he would have mercy upon us. Praise the Lord. But it looks like, you know, it would a simple mistake. We call it a simple mistake. You know, not destroying utterly everything that the Lord had commanded to do. But because of that, it made the Lord so angry, and he said, I have rejected you. But you know what mesmerizes me, what really shocked me, what really made me tremble, you know, is what the Lord said about the burnt offerings. And I think we read that in verse number 2. Then Samuel said, does the Lord take pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the Lord? Look, to obey is better than to sacrifice. To pay attention is better than the fat of rams. Can we go to 23, Sister Lorraine? 23. Now look what it says there. For rebellion is like the sin of divination. Rebellion. What is to rebel? To rebel is exactly what Saul did, right? Right? Come on, you know, guys. I want you to be with me. What is to rebel? I believe the definition of rebellion is when you've been given a set of instruction, and you intentionally decide to disobey. Amen? So you have rebelled. Amen? Like, for example, if I told you, Sister Alice, can you get up and go bring me a cup of water? Hey, this pastor, am I the only one who can bring him water? You know? And you know you can do it. And you just continue sitting there and you're looking at me. So, in other words, you know you can do it, and I've asked you to do it. But since you refuse to do it, you have rebelled. So you've become a rebel. You have rebelled. It is someone who intentionally refuses to obey sets of instruction that you have received. So he says, rebellion is like the sin of divination. And I was wondering, what is divination? Divination. Divination. And defiance is like the wickedness and idolatry. Oh my goodness. Do you know what idolatry is? What is idolatry? Thank you. Can you imagine that, you know, defiance. That when you have learned to do, when God has said you have to do this, and you have learned it, and you have put it in your heart, and he has, and you know for sure in your Noah house, you have even the confirmation of the Holy Spirit, you have the confirmation of the Son, you have the confirmation of the Father, and you have the confirmation of your Spirit, and you have the confirmation of the church, and you have the confirmation of everyone who knows you, that you are supposed to do this. And then you defy, it is equated to idolatry. And I said, oh God, idolatry. God looks at you when you have defied. And I said, wait a minute, Lord. This is a thing deeper than this is even serious. In fact, let me tell you, as I was driving to church, I was not thinking about anything. I was thinking about that verse right there. That the rebellion of the sin, that rebellion, for rebellion is like the sin of divination. Do you know what divination is? Witchcraft. It is actually the process of uncovering the unknown knowledge through a supernatural medium. Amen? And I know you have heard of people who have gone to Waganga, especially we from Africa. We have people we know, people who go. You know, you have people that they want things are stuck in their lives, and they have sought the Lord, and the Lord has delayed, and you know, somebody came and told him, "Hey, na thani kuna kabuele, kabuele anakuwa mahali kabuele, eh?" And we go to kabuele, and you know, the first thing the kabuele ask you to bring, what do they tell you to bring? Bring white chicken, and or a black one, and a white egg. And some feathers of a flamingo. I mean, they give you a concussion of things that you're supposed to bring. Now, these people, they are practicing what is divination. And you know what? Their supernatural stronghold is the devil. Amen? Their supernatural
communication device or satellite is the devil. So when you bring that the chicken, and when you bring the white chicken, and when you bring the egg, they are trying to open up a realm. They are trying to open up a communication highway with the devil so that the devil can tell you the things that are concerning you. And you know, the devil is the author of lies, and he is the father of confusion. Let me tell you, people's lives, even today, if you follow the trail of people who are, sometimes you wonder, kwani what happens here? Ukachunguze kabisa. If you completely research what is happening to people, there's somebody who consulted a medium. Alienda kaleta, akaona kabwele, and he told him, ukuje kama umenyolewa tu laini moja hapa. Wah! Nitakuwa na majibu. And 500 shillings. People have gotten themselves, and the Lord, listen, my brothers and sisters, this is very serious. Listen to what the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 19, 9 to 14. And you don't have to read, just listen to me. You can read when Sister Lorraine puts it up there, but listen. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. Can I hear an amen? There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering. Do you know there are people who are doing that in the old days? People would sacrifice their sons and daughters. In fact, even today, I've heard of people who sacrifice their sons and daughters. People who are in the Masonic church or Masonic cult. You know, you hear that a son has disappeared. You know, he has been offered as a sacrifice. Those practices are still alive today. Anyone who practices divinations, this is what he says. Anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a conchromasala. I think that's what he says. Or one who inquires of the dead. I mean, these are ugly things, my goodness. For whoever does these things is an abomination. And what is an abomination? An abomination is the thing that caused disgust or hatred from the Lord to the Lord. And because of this abomination, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God for these nations which you are about. Listen to here. Oh my goodness, listen here, verse number 13. You shall be blameless before your God for these nations which you are about to dispossess. Listen to fortune tellers and to diviners, but as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do this. In other words, the Lord had prepared the children of Israel to capture the inherited promised land. And the Lord, why he was sending out these nations away, is because they were practicing these things. That means if the God had the capability of giving the children of Israel, Pastor Francis, even another land, but because he was so hurt by what these nations were doing, he told them, you know what? I am coming to replace you. And I am sending my children because I don't expect them to be sorcerers. I don't expect them to be diviners. I don't expect them to consult mediums. I don't expect them to do the things that they do. And I will drive them out. Think about that. He said, the reason why I am causing you to send, to chase them away and to kill them. You know, it doesn't matter whether they are giants. You remember when they were sent out to spy the land? Some of them said that we found giants. It doesn't matter the size of the matter. If you have disgusted the Lord, he has ways and means of chasing you out. And he said, I am sending them out. I am driving them away so that you can come and replace them. And after you replace them, I want the nature of God. I know you have my stamp on you. I know that you have the ability to praise me in those lands. God would not stand such provocation and blasphemy from these people. Amen. Hallelujah. And he's listen. He says that is what he compares with disobedience. Kai, munaona? That is what he compares. He says that the sin of disobedience, the sin kiburi, pride is like it's resembled. It's equated to the same thing. He says it's like this. When I look at your disobedience, when I know that I have given you a set of instructions to do, to carry, to tell people about me, and you refuse to do it, I feel bad, like when I see these nations practicing medium and sorcery and capoeiraship in their nation. That's how bad I feel about it. God, I said, God, forgive me, my Lord. Where I've complained, Lord Jesus, please forgive me. Because perchance that you looked at me and you saw me as a diviner. Lord, when you send me to accomplish a certain task for you, God, and I refuse, or I do it, did it haphazardly, or I did it half-heartedly. Lord, you looked at me as a diviner. Please forgive me. And I know God heard my prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, listen to this. And I'm almost concluding. Now, the reason why the children of Israel, in spite of the instructions that he had given them in the book of Deuteronomy, he told them, when you go to these lands, I am aware, I'm sure aware of what these people do. They sacrifice their sons and daughters. They even are sorcerers. They consult mediums. But as for you, I have put a mark of ownership in you. That's why I'm sending you to go and occupy those territories, so that you can establish my name in those nations. Hallelujah. That's why God brought you from all the way from Kenya to come and make you stand in this country. He told them, when you come to America, do not copy the things that they do that is an abomination to the Lord. It will be a disaster, my brother and my sister. We talk of homosexuality. We talk of lesbianism. Back in the day when I was growing up as a young kid, as a young boy, we never heard of homosexuality and lesbianism. In fact, I never heard of that word. Some of you who are old enough maybe cannot even remember when you heard about it. You are like, that is like the devil himself. But now it will be an abomination for us even to hear that our own people are practicing these things, and they're doing behind the corners and doing all those dirty stuff that you found out here. He told the children of Israel, when you go there, you find, God told them, you find these people doing these things. But as for you, do not do what they do. That's why I'm chasing them away. That's why I want to take them off the map, so that you guys can come and establish my name, and establish my word, and establish my nature, and establish so that my word can spread out. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. But you know what? Human beings are always human beings. We never listen. You can hear, even have TDJ stand on this church today, but 2 weeks later we forgot, including me, I'll forget what he did. We remember experiences, but we forget to hear what the Lord speaks to us. Now listen, the children of Israel, some of them didn't even heed, and they fell. But listen, 2 Kings 17:6-13. The Bible says, in the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria captured Samaria, one of the cities of Israel. He carried the Israelites away to Assyria and placed them in Hala and on the harbor, the river Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. And this occurred because the people of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them out of Egypt, out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of the king of Egypt, and had feared other gods. Listen, the children of Israel, after they came up here, they met people worshipping other gods, and they found these people fearing other small god G's. I mean, fearing gods, small G gods. Okay? And the Bible says, and they started fearing these other gods, and walked in the customs and of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel, and in the customs that the kings of Israel had practiced. In fact, they abandoned what they had known to be right, and they assumed the customs of these nations that the Lord was driving out. Hallelujah. And the people of Israel did secretly against the Lord their God thing that was not right. They built for themselves high places. You remember the high places of Asherah. In all their towns. Think about this. How can you abandon your culture? That in every city that the Lord has given you, you abandon it. And instead, in every of their towns, they raise up these high places in worship of other gods. Guy. Huh? Hallelujah. Wow. And in the custom, and the people of Israel did secretly against the Lord, their God, things that were not right. They built for themselves high places in all their towns, from watchtower to fortified city. They set up for themselves pillars and asherim on every high hill and under every green tree. And there they made offerings on the high places, as the nations whom who the Lord carried away before them. And they did wicked things, provoking the Lord to anger. And they served idols, of which the Lord had said to them, "You shall not do this." We are talking about the sins that were in the nations that were driven out. Definition. It just came from a single word. Obedience. Disobedience. Think about this. Think about it. They served idols, although the Lord had told them that you must not do this. We're trying to expound on the word definition and the things that are distasteful to the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. May the Lord help us that when God gives us an assignment, however small, however big, if it's big enough, you know what? God is going to provide for it. You may go to the Lord and seek the Lord, ask him like he gave, you know, Nehemiah. He comes to Nehemiah and some report comes to Nehemiah, as I was telling you 2 weeks ago. And someone tells him, you know what? The exiles have come back. They have been released. And actually they were put in exile in Babylon for 70 years just because of the same things. Most of these Israelis were taken away because they came and adopted the ways of the nations that the Lord had intended to drive out. But the time comes, because the Lord is so merciful, he comes back and he says, "I'll bring you back." Hallelujah. And when Nehemiah heard about how the city was without any protection, he cried to the Lord for almost 2 months. "Lord, what am I going to do?" And I told you, I remember telling you that Nehemiah was just a laborer. He was just a high official in the king's palace. He used to be a cupbearer. And he's praying day and night and he's crying on this besieged city. And he's telling, and he goes before the king and he's telling, and the king realizes his demeanor and he saw that he was sad and he says, "Why are you sad today, my dear cupbearer?" And he says, "How can my face not be sad when the city of my ancestors and the burial places lay in ruins? How can I not be sad?" Praise be to God. And finally, we see God giving him favor before the king. And he goes out and he rebuilds the walls of Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. I don't know. I put myself the other day in the shoes of Nehemiah. I don't know what I would have done. Probably, I would have prayed maybe a day or two and said, like we all do, you know, "God will raise somebody." You know, I've done that before. I've heard about something that is really happening somewhere. And I knew that I was supposed to do something. But I said, you know what? God has many servants. He can raise somebody to go and do it. You know, I've done it. I'm openly confessing. And the Lord knows it. I've done it. I know you guys are good and you always, you know. But you know what? I believe it's time to go back and to take seriously the word of the Lord. You know, it is important to take seriously. For God has given us. Look, God has created you, Pastor Chi. And he put in you everything within our capability to conquer this planet. And that's why, think about when God says that one can chase 1,000. I mean, what is in you that is so immense and so powerful that you can chase 1,000? My goodness, can you imagine if we all realize that we can chase each one of us 1,000? And things even get better. That when we combine, Pastor Francis, when we combine, you know, there is a synergetic power. That not only now can we chase 2,000, but the power is exponentially increased so that we can chase 10,000. Ah, what you chase that? 10,000. What would happen if we join the three of us? Maybe how many? Maybe 1 million. 1 million. I don't know how the Lord works out that mathematics. I would want to know the formula. But you know, if he gave us three, maybe I would know the formula. Thank you, Pastor. Maybe I would know the formula. But, you know, as we combine and we realize who we are, God, we cannot just neglect this word. We have to do what the Lord has told us to do while it is still day. For night comes when no man will work. Amen. And may God help us. Whatever God wants us to learn in these 2 weeks about obeying this word. Let me tell you. There are times when you read the word and it changes your perspective about certain things. Let me tell you. Just that word that the Lord spoke to me this morning. I have begun to see things in a different way. That when you disobey the word, when you just take it kwa mzaha, or just neglect mchezo, that he is looking at it as definition. And that is an abomination before the Lord. Amen. God, you know what? If the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord range throughout the face of the earth, looking for somebody who is well strong enough that he may use them. May God find you today because you're well strengthened. May God find you where you will be. May God find you even in your state of discontent. May God arise in you. May God stir up something fresh in our lives today, that when God calls, we shall be ready to rise up and say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Hallelujah. For he is looking for a person to send. He is looking for somebody to stand in the gap. He is looking for he can raise angels if he wants to. Amen? He can raise him. But you know, I heard somebody say, "Ain't no rock that's going to sing his praises in my place. I am not going to let," you know, he said, "If you don't praise me, I can cause the rocks to praise me." You know, he says that. Yeah? Think about it. That he says, "If you do not praise me, I can raise rocks." Because he is hungry. He is hungry of our praise. Can you imagine, Sister Elizabeth, just because you said, "Leo nimechoka sana, me I'm not praising. Hata hiyo worship me sitaenda." You say that, and then you find a stone here, man. A stone just chipped out from which is the closest cliff that we have here. A stone took a kuja kana. Na Elizabeth anasema, "Aka kanaimba tu on my behalf. Kanaimba, I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord." Like I said, "Oh Jesus." You'd melt away and run. But that's what he says. That I can raise rocks to sing on my place if you are not interested. Let me tell you. Let me tell you. Listen, guys. The Lord says that we are being given a mission to tell people about Jesus. Don't you think Jesus can just send one legion on earth today? One legion of angels to spread the word, and this whole earth will be evangelized. Don't you think God is capable of doing that? To tell people about Jesus, waende mpaka Turukana, waende mpaka watu wacha hii tunasema TPN, waende mpaka all the corners of Samoa and tell people Jesus is coming and you have to repent. And they will listen. But you see, he doesn't do that. Because he said that you are co-laborers with me. God, my God, when he says you are co-laborers, co-workers with me, he is depending upon you and me to accomplish the work of the Lord here on earth. Let us take it to another level, brothers and sisters. God is really interested for us to obey the word. Amen? Amen. You know what? This is what I say. This is what I declare. That if I feel that I am not going to do it, I'm not just going to do it. And I'll tell the Lord, "Please, Lord. But if I decide I'm going to do it, do it. Do it with the whole of your heart. Do it with the whole of your might. Do it because God is watching you. Do it because God can raise somebody else. But I declare that nobody is going to be raised up in my place when it is on my assignment to do it." I am glad for you ladies who volunteer to come and sing. Don't sing it. Don't just sing for 2 weeks. Don't sing for 3 weeks. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Every Sunday you'll be feeling like, "Oh, must I have to wake up again? I have to be there at 12. Yeah? Those temptations will come. But you decided. You said, "I'm going to praise the Lord." Remember, you're not, let me tell you, my name is not even known. You cannot come and praise me. I mean, my name is actually my last name. I don't think there's anybody who has my last name in the whole world. So I'm not even known. So you're not doing it for anybody, for even Pastor Tony. But you're doing it to the Most High God, Jehovah, the creator of heaven and earth. Man, when you know that you're doing it for the King of Kings, who lives on high and controls the affairs of this planet, you will rise up early in the morning and I'll be the first one right there waiting for Carlos, interceding and praying and telling God that this is the day that the Lord has made and I rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Unasikia? We will obey the Lord. we will obey him. Hallelujah. Because he knows you by name. He knows your address. He doesn't need a story about you. He doesn't even need to form a committee so that they can tell him how you're doing lately. Can you imagine if God calls a committee to say, you know what, I just want to know how Liz is doing this way, lately, for the past few weeks. He knows. Amen? He even knows where you'll be tomorrow. He knows your attitude. Can you imagine? He knows how, whether you'll be angry on Wednesday or not. He knows everything. So let us rise up. Rise up in our hearts. Rise up in our souls and choose to obey the Lord. For obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. Finally, I'll read this scripture and then we are done. We'll stand up and pray and we'll be done with this service. Romans 6.
Excuse me.
Romans 6, verse number 1. Just excuse me. This is very, very important. No, actually, let's read 1 John 2, 3, 6. This is one of the verses that I knew, I learned when I just got born again, like barely got born again. Now listen, 1 John 2, 3, 6. Now by this we know that we know him. Listen, now by this we know that we know him. Now the know that we are talking about here is more, it's just not the ordinary know that knowing somebody just casually. It is a knowing that is explained between a man and a husband. You know, and Abraham knew his wife, that they lay together, they were intimate together. This is how he says, by this I know that we know him, if we keep his commandment. He who says I know him and does not keep his commandment is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says abide in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Amen. Romans 6, 1 to 2, the verses there. Romans chapter number 6 from verse 1. What shall we say? This is Paul writing to the Romans. What shall we say then? Are we to continue to sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who die to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall suddenly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And I love this verse, the next verse. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its portions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought to death from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under the grace. Okay, what then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law, but under the grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourself to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thank be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient to the heart of the standard of teaching to which you were committed. and having been set from free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. Amen. This is Paul writing to the Romans. Amen. When you present, I love what he says. You know, you become, you know, whenever you present your body to any master, you'll obey that which, whether to sin, whether to righteousness. Amen. But the Bible tells us, since we are slaves to righteousness, we are to present our bodies. Amen. Amen. We are the ones to present our bodies. Amen. To become slaves to righteousness. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. What a powerful text. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank God for his word. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We exalt you. We magnify your names. We declare that there is no God like you. Father, I know that you intended for us to hear this word. And I thank you, Father, because of the nurturing power that it does to our spirits right now. That, Father God, we will take obedience even to another level. That when we disobey you, Lord, you equate that to the spirit of divination. And Father God, when we become wrathful and we come to be against your word, Father, you equate to the same in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we don't want you to look at us when you have given us instructions to do things for you, or to do a mission, and then we just take it lightly. We don't want you to be hurt. We don't want to be looking at us as abominable objects. Father, I thank you for the grace in which we live in. And I pray that grace will propel us to be slaves to righteousness and to present our bodies, Father, even to the cause of the ministry, to the cause that you brought us here on this planet, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you shall strengthen our feeble knees. Those of us who feel like they have really failed, Lord, I know when you look at us, you look at us through the blood of your Son, Jesus, and you're ready and willing to accept us the way we are. Father, we repent where we have disobeyed you. We repent where we have murmured. We repent where we have complained, Lord. And we repent where we have injured one another, in the name of Jesus. Father, cleanse us by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We repent even when we had other minds and imaginations about how things were supposed to be done. And we repent, Father, where we failed to obey you, in the name of Jesus. And from this night, I pray that you shall take each one of us and take us to another level to see you in a new perspective, in the name of Jesus. I speak a blessing over the people who came here in this auditorium. These are your children, Lord. Yes, the most valuable price that you sent your Son Jesus to die for. And I pray for each one of them, Lord, that Father God, you put a hedge of protection round about each one of them. Each one of them is so essential in the kingdom and needed in such time as this, in the name of Jesus. For those that the devil is planning to lead astray, I come against you, devil, and I command you to leave them in the name of Jesus. I commit you out of their lives in the name of the Lord. And Father God, I pray that you shall shine your light again, that they may see your glory and that they may see you lifted up. You're going to use each and every one of them, Lord, so powerfully that they are not even going to believe that they're the ones you're using, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for the life of each and every one of them. I know you love them unconditionally, and I know that you care for them, Lord, and you even protect them even when they're not even aware. Father, I speak your favor upon their lives, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, and I bless you, and I lift up your name. Your name is a strong tower where the righteous run into and they are saved. We pray this believing and trusting in Jesus' strong name. Someone who loves him, shout a big amen. Hallelujah. Give him a hand of praise. Amen. Before